As this time has been getting closer and closer to do Tom's assassination, and I had more and more time to dwell on the things that he's done with me, for me, that I've meant to him and that he's meant to me. One of the things that he shared many times is that as a sponsor, he was 0 for 25 until I showed up. So it has a lot to do with the desire and the place of the person who's being the sponsee. Are you willing to surrender? Are you wanting to learn? Are you really wanting to change your life? If you are, you can do the work. And I think about how one of the first times that Tom and I ever laid eyes on each other was when I was incarcerated in the Denton County Jail. And he was bringing Alcoholics Anonymous meetings into the Denton County Jail. There is a buzzing up here that I have no idea where it's coming from. I'll ignore it. I'll try to. You are. Okay. So, and as I, you know, as life has progressed, I look at things a little bit differently and kind of look at them a little bit different and think of situations from different perspectives as best I can, because I want to learn and I want to understand more and I want to see things differently. There are some things that I've come to understand about where Tom was at that place. Because when I was incarcerated, he was like 2 years sober. He'd been in recovery like a couple years and learning about what a personal relationship with God really looks like and growing closer to God. But one thing that he'd already learned was saying yes. Because somebody asked him, Tom, will you come join us taking these Alcoholics Anonymous meetings into the jail? 2 years into recovery, he did that. So he was already willing to go serve, which I'm grateful that he was. We had no idea when we met each other in Denton County Jail that he was going to be my sponsor, I was going to be the sponsee. We had no idea of any of that because it was going to be a couple years later that that even really started happening. But us looking at it in hindsight, we see these things, how God arranged them and how the plan was together, and it just makes me more grateful to God. And so I'm thinking about these things, going through them in my mind for at least the last couple of weeks. I think about a month. And then I watched this movie a couple of weeks ago that I had never seen before. It's called The Shack. Have you guys seen The Shack? If you have not seen The Shack, you need to see The Shack. There are some things in there that when I'm watching this movie, I'm not going to say it's all scriptural, but I'm going to say it'll make you think. And some of the ideas behind it are, once you know more about something, some things that happened to some people, you can better understand why those people are the way that they are. And so there's part of this movie where the guy gets taken in by sent in by God to this judgment room, and he has been beaten, the guy had been beaten and tortured by his own father. And so they put this guy up and say, well, you're going to be the judge. And they put a picture of this little boy being beaten in front of him. And he goes, that's horrible, I can't stand that. And the angel tells him, that's your dad being beaten. And so he's showing him how the guy who beat him was beaten in the generation before. There's some other stuff in the movie, and I'm not going to use it all, but I'm going to tell you that that's kind of where it took me in my frame of mind about how we can see things different, how we can come to understand more how things are the way they are. And you can go two ways with that line of thinking. You can go with the bad way and see it going down and it's getting worse and the world's coming to an end and there's no good left in this world at all. There's some people that think that. Or you can go the way that we as believers go, thinking how awesome God is and how much hope he gives us. Faith, hope, and love are eternal. About how could he love us so much as being the sinners that we are? How could he love us and give us grace and mercy and forgiveness? And so instead of going downhill thinking about how life and everything in the world is getting worse, we can go up to a level of praising God and recognition of His mighty works. And we can live on a better plane in a better way if we choose to. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, I think about Tom and how his life has impacted mine. I think about the lengths that he went to help me. I think about my wife, the things that we have shared together, and the life that we've experienced. We've been together over 42 years now. We've been married almost 40. And it hasn't all been good, but there has been a lot of good. But because of this idea of having the praise God, He's so awesome, thank you, Lord, attitude, and sometimes in the situation I'm about to explain to you, sometimes it's in the place of, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? I'm afraid. And so when I had my heart issues a couple of weeks back, actually, it was just kind of fear and me opening my mouth and telling somebody, you're getting help. That's kind of how it went. But when I'm in the hospital having all these tests run, and they tell me that I'm going to see the cardiologist, and I'm going to be released. Well, Patty was at home. She hadn't slept much the night before. If you know Patty, like I do, most of that time was probably spent, oh God, what would I do without him? Lord, help him. And she was living in a place of fear while she was trying to present to me a place of confidence and everything's going to be all right. But she was really scared that something was going to happen to me, weren't you? So she's trusting God and leaning into God and asking God to protect us and help us. Well, when they tell me that I'm going to talk to the cardiologist and be released, she's at home. Come pick me up. They're about to release me. So she comes up and they say, no, the cardiologist isn't here. He's not going to be able to talk to you. And I'm kind of hard-headed, and I'm like, well, I'm not leaving until I get to talk to him. If I'm going through all these tests and all this stuff, I want to hear what he has to say about all those tests. And so I'm pretty frustrated, especially when they tell me that he was there, but he got called out on emergency, and he probably won't be back till the next day. Well, to get me in the hospital for one night is pretty much a miracle. To get me to choose to stay another night, that's really a miracle. But I did, because I wanted to talk to him. So I said, Patty, going home. And so she goes to leave the hospital, and she walks by the chapel, and she says she feels God say, go back to the chapel. So she does. She turns around and goes back to the chapel. I didn't know any of this until she starts. She sent me a text first. She said, I just heard God. And then she calls me, and she's crying. And she said, I just heard God tell me that the reason you're not going home tonight is because there's someone else in this hospital that you're supposed to talk to. Now, the big miracle about that is Patty's never heard that before. Patty's never heard that Holy Spirit voice in that way. As a matter of fact, she's wanted to hear it for some time. Sometimes when you guys hear me, I think it was with that reaching out to God and asking God for help. And she's been doing a lot of Bible study every morning. She's got her books laid out and she reads Jesus calling. And she's very polite. She said, would you like to hear Jesus calling today? Yes, honey. Let's hear Jesus calling. So it's kind of turned into a time of worship in the mornings for us. But as she's crying and telling me about how she got to hear the Holy Spirit, and she says there's someone else in this hospital that you need to talk to. It's the reason that you're not leaving now. I said, well, I better get busy praying because I'm not in that good a place because I'm staying at the hospital another night. And so if you know what to do when you're in a bad place and do it, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you don't know what to do when you're in a bad place, you can still be blessed by admitting that you don't know what you're supposed to do. And asking the one who does know what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So while I'm thinking about all this, there's more to all the different ministries that he's got going. The stories that I know about you guys, about your struggles and your past and where you've been. If all of you knew everything about each of you, you would know that you're more alike than different. That you've had plenty of struggles, plenty of victories. The main thing that we have in common here as a body of believers is that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He came and died on the cross for us and rose again on the third day. And we can have freedom in Christ and eternal life because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever else we have in differences, we can always go back to that and our similarities. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, as I'm thinking of this, and watching the shack and all this other stuff that's going on in my life, He puts this term in my mind that is God's tapestry. God's tapestry, the art that he wraps on the world. And you might think of it in terms of, I don't know how many of you have not seen the Grand Canyon, but if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. I don't know how many of you have not seen the blue water, not the Galveston brown water, the blue water in the Atlantic Ocean. The blue water in the Pacific Ocean. I don't know how many of you have seen Hawaii. How many of you have seen the beaches in California? There's so many beautiful things that are God's tapestry that are geographical. But there are many, many more that are not geographical. They are relational. They are life situational. Things that we have walked out that he's tied together and made magic in ways that we could have never figured out, we could have never imagined, we could have never, we don't have the ability to imagine the way that all these personal relationships, all these interactions that we have with each other, all the life experiences that we've gone through as human beings, we don't really know how God can paint all that into this beautiful tapestry. But if you look at it for that reason, that you want to see God's beautiful tapestry, he will give you the eyes to see that. He will give you the Holy Spirit to reveal that beautiful picture to you and give you better understanding of why did he put me in your life? Why did he put you in his life? Why are you in their life? We can grow to see it with this beautiful picture of God's tapestry about the amazing way that he weaves lives together, about how he puts us in situations. Let's just word it this way. Sometimes they're not the situations that we would pick if we were picking what situation we'd be in. So we get in different situations than that. We get the opportunity. Wine and grind, praise God and enjoy and see what we're supposed to learn from it. So he gave me this scripture. Usually he does not give me a scripture to pluck out. Usually he gives me a scripture for all the content, and I go through, and I've got some of that here too, if we end up having time for it. But this is the one that he gave me, and I've already shared it with Tom and Ronnie and Robbie this morning. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So the first part of that, call unto me. Most of the people in my environment, in my life, in my circle of influence have done that. Most of them have called unto God. They called unto God before they knew this scripture. They called unto God before they knew that he was going to answer, that he was going to show them great and mighty things which they knowest not. So, I know that's true for me. I know that's true for Tom. I know that's true for most of the people that I know in my life. We had to get to a point of desperation that we actually called to him. And we didn't call to him thinking, what great and mighty things are going to show me, God. We called to him because I'm drowning, my life is falling apart, and I have no other option. You are my best option. Amen. And so most of us had to go to this place of desperation, of brokenness, to make us into the clay that he could mold, to get us to a position to ask him for help. Because until I was in that place, I wasn't asking anybody for help. I'm going to do things the way I'm going to do them. And don't get in my way. Because I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, he pulled all that stuff out of the way. This arrogance, this self-reliance, this I got this by the tail attitude. He took all that away and brought me down to a place where my life, my marriage, my family, my finances, everything that I had to fall apart, apparently, because they did, before I would do this, before I would call him to him and ask him for help. Now, you don't have to go to that place. You can do it willingly at any place that you're at. As a matter of fact, you can do it right now at any place that you're at. You can say, Lord, I'm a bit off track. I need your help redirecting. You can say, Lord, I don't really know what to do next. Show me. You can say, God, my life is such a desperate mess. I need you so much right now. Will you help me, Lord? We could come at it in all different directions. But normally, it's not so. He can show us a great amount of things that we know it's not. But that doesn't mean we can't do it. We can still come to him with the scripture, with this idea in mind, that he's going to show us great and mighty things that we know it not. How much fun is that to think about?
Amen.
I'm like, God, show us these great and mighty things that we know it not. Will you reveal them to us now? Will you let us know them? The things that we know it not, will you let us know them? He says he will. He says, seek and you'll find, ask, and he'll answer. He wants to give us wisdom. Here's another plucked out verse. This is actually 11, 12, 13. This is actually four verses. We're studying on Wednesday nights. It came up. You want to know why he does all that for us? Do you want to know why? Because he wants this for us. John 15, 11 through 14. Actually studying this. This was our last. It was in our last Wednesday night Bible study. This is Jesus talking, by the way. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Listen. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus isn't just concerned about our salvation. I don't want to minimize salvation at all. Salvation is a huge, big, giant deal. But that's not all Jesus wants us to have. He is about grace and mercy and forgiveness and born again and new life. And that my joy may be complete. I love that about him. I love that about Jesus. He doesn't want to just save my soul. He wants me to have a good life. He wants me to live in joy. Some of the things that happen, or that need to happen, so that we can know those things that we know it's not. We have to do some that we do it. Raphael mentioned this morning while we were talking to Tom that love is, he had the numbers, I don't know, but how many times love was mentioned in the Bible was 700 and something. How many times give was mentioned in the Bible was over 2,000 and something. So love is in there a whole lot, but give is in there a whole lot more. And it's not just money. It's time, it's talent, it's treasures, it's support, it's encouragement. There's so many things that we can give when we have nothing. Believe me, I've been there. And that is one of those things that I knew it not. I knew it not that giving my life away and serving God was going to make me happier. I was so miserable, I was willing to try anything. Helping pick up chairs, put chairs on a rack. This did so much for my life one time. It made me a believer that serving was the way I wanted to go. And now I can't get enough. I serve at the jail. I serve at the prison. I serve at the church. I serve at the Celebrate Recovery. I serve wherever God calls me to serve. I want my answer to be yes. And the reasons that I do that is because I'm so grateful to God for loving me, forgiving me, giving me another chance. Just like I mentioned about Tom up here, God loved me when I couldn't love me. And sometimes there are still times when that is true. There are still some times when I can't love me. Because I'll start thinking about who I was or how I ran my mouth or the attitude I had when I answered a question. There's things that make me, that they remind me of the old me. Now the old me's dead, or maybe he's still on life support. He's somewhere, because I feel him sometimes. I feel the old me sometimes. I feel the hateful, angry, I'm going to get you, I'm going to make you pay. Or the other one that's I'm so afraid and I'm so unworthy that I shouldn't even. How could God use someone like me in front of a church on Sunday mornings? How could he do that? I will kick my own butt more than anybody else does. I don't know if there's anybody else in here like that. But I need to move back to him and say, Lord, help me. Lord, continue to change me. I just thank you and praise you for who you are and what you've done. And I get so excited when I live that kind of life. It's a joy to be in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It is a misery to be in the kingdom of Richard. Can you relate?
Yes.
So which one is the better kingdom to be in? The kingdom of God? Did I hear somebody say that? What? Which kingdom?
God.
How do y'all know me? I've never been in the kingdom of Richard. You've been in your kingdom, haven't you? You've been in your kingdom. You've seen the fear and the doubts and the anger and the resentments and the sin. Jesus pretty much blew it for all of us when he said, if you think about having sex with somebody, you had adultery. That's kind of, it's another stamp on all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
That is true.
We all have sinned. But not all of us have accepted his forgiveness. Not all of us have been washed by the blood. Maybe even in sometimes when we have been washed by the blood and we have received his forgiveness, we need to turn around and acknowledge that and ask for it again. I believe we can be born again. I believe we get another chance. I believe that whenever we call to him, confess our sins, and he tells us that if we tell him, I'm sorry, Lord, guide me, change me. We have built on that personal relationship that is, it's the most important relationship in my life. I don't want to hurt your feelings, Tom, but that one is. I don't want to hurt your feelings, Patty, but that one is. The most important relationship in my life is my relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because if I'll work on keeping that relationship right, all the other ones can be okay. If I don't work on having that relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, correct, with me humbled and him being God, me down here, him up here, may he increase and I decrease. If I don't work on that, woo, it can get really bad really quick. I have not only seen road rage, I've been a part of road rage. I've not only been cussed out, I have cussed people out. I've not only been in fights where I've been beat up, I've been in fights where I was the one that beat people up. I've done all those things. And at the time, it always seemed like it was something that I needed to do. I needed to tell you how much of a low-life piece of paper you are because you got in my way or you stepped in my feet or you cut me off in traffic. I always felt like I should do that. I always felt like it was something I needed to do. But that's my feelings. That's not scriptural. Scriptural says I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. We have to get loving our neighbor. We have to get loving ourselves right before we can love our neighbor. So, when you picture God's tapestry, what does that look like in your world? Do you have a wife? Do you have kids? Do you have grandkids? Is your mom still around? Is your dad still around? Do you have fond memories of them, or are they terrible memories? Whatever the tapestry that God has written on your life so far, it's not the end. As long as you are breathing, you have the opportunity to go, my life sucks, I'm broke, I have no place to live. You can dwell on your misery, whether those I just mentioned apply to you. You know what I'm saying. You're a tapestry. Let's think about that for a minute. Each of you individually, think about the tapestry that God is writing, has written in your life up to this point. Can you picture it? Are you thinking about the things that God has done in your life? Are you thinking about misery or are you thinking about praise? Which one? Is there anybody here thinking about the misery right now? Because if you are, we want to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now, brother. We're going to pray for you in just a minute. It's not the misery in your life that will help you grow and look more like Jesus. Well, it can help you. It's not focusing on the misery and problems in your life that will make you look more like Jesus. We all got it. We all got problems. We all got issues. How we choose to act on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ right now, it's always right now, is going to make an impact on how you treat people, the person, the man or woman that you are right now, how you're going to speak to your kids, your grandkids, the people that are closest to you, working on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ right now is going to improve that. Ignoring our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to make them all worse. Don't ask me how I know. So, let's make a decision right now on which way we want to see God's tapestry. You want it to create more misery? You want to follow that trail? You want it to be more beautiful? Do you want to see what else he can expand and do and blow up? And what relationships and what places that he has to serve in front of you? Do you want to see those things?
Yes.
Do you want to experience that idea that I'm projecting to you about the joy? That your joy may be full. Maybe you experienced it. Maybe you let it go. Maybe you've never experienced it yet. I don't know where you fall in that category. But let me tell you something. When Jesus says, so that your joy may be full, that your joy may be complete, it's not any kind of joy that you can come up with. It's not like, you know, finding out you got $5 left on a gas card. You know, that's not a gift, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that he could use a wretched sinner like you to carry his kingdom forward and tell someone else how much he loves them. You can become an instrument in the hands of God. You can be used by him to harvest those fields that he says is so wide and ready for harvest. You! Can you believe that? Can you believe that God can use you? I hope you do, because it sure is true. But it matters a whole lot about how you see the tapestry that God's weaving in your life. So if you have something you need to confess, if you're like Sonny and you need prayer because you've been thinking in the terms of the misery of the tapestry instead of the beauty of the tapestry, we want to pray for you. As the band comes up right now, we're going to give you an opportunity to say, I've been headed the wrong direction, or an opportunity to come say, I'm headed in the right direction and I love it. I don't care where you are. I care about where you're going. I care about your joy being full because Jesus cared about your joy being full. Do you want to walk it out and get to where your joy is full? Then let's go. If you want to tell everybody my joy is full right now, I love my life, thank you God. If that's where you're at, let's hear it. Because somebody needs to hear that, amen? Amen. So wherever you're at, now's your opportunity to get better, do better, make it better. And it's not by anything you can do except this one thing. Do. Surrender the fact that you need his help and ask him for his help. Those are two things that we need to do. We need to commit to the fact that we need his help and then turn and ask him. Is there anybody else that needs Jesus' help in here besides me? Is there anybody else in here that needs Jesus' help besides me? I need his help.
I want his help.
Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.